Testing what?
Rosina Armin, and I'm talking to Leroy Bushman.
Okay. What's your name?
My name?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been told a lot of things, but Leroy, small r, Vincent Bushman.
Okay. And I forgot to ask Duck, so I'm going to ask you right away how old you are.
76.
Oh, you are? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 76. Years young.
Yeah. How long have you lived in Perry?
We were here off and on two or three times because my dad worked on the railroad and he had to move around to, you know, keep a job. But from about 1938 until, you know, I went in the service while we lived in the Perry here. Well, that's a nice interruption.
Yeah. So when you lived in Perry, did you live in this house all this time?
No. We lived in a house the railroad provided for the foreman of the section.
Where was that at?
It was between Lower and Upper Perry, about halfway, right beside the track.
Now there's between Lower and Upper Perry, there's a pine tree.
Big pine
right there.
Tree.
And was that where the house was?
Yeah, it sat right there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Because I noticed there were some lilac bushes there too, and I wondered if there was a house there.
Yeah, there was.
So, but that's right by the railroad tracks and the road, so where was the road?
Well, the road just come that far. Back then, the road didn't go on through, you know, by Lower Perry here. It dead ended right there.
Oh.
If you wanted to get to where I lived, you had to go turn off at Upper Perry, off the highway, and come back that way into where we lived, and that was the end of the road.
Hmm.
But,
so how did people get to Lower Perry then?
Well, they was always just going out here to under the track, out to the highway.
Oh, but that road now that's going right next to the river, that wasn't there.
No.
Huh.
No. Yeah, things are changed.
Yeah. So the house you lived in was pretty much where the road is now?
Yeah. Yeah, it went right beside of it.
Oh, be darned. Were there any other railroad houses there?
There was a foreman's house and a bunkhouse. They called a bunkhouse there for the men that, you know, worked on the section.
Yeah. And your dad worked for the railroad?
Yes.
What?
He was a section foreman, they called him. They worked on the track and maintained it and installed it.
And you said you moved a lot, so where did you, what other places?
Other places?
Did you live?
I was a Reith and Condon, Arlington. There's most of the places there. We stayed the longest. Damn locations.
Yeah. I know those little towns are, a lot of them were built around the railroad.
Oh, yeah,
staying
yeah,
there.
Yeah. That's how La Grande come about, I think.
Yeah, I would doubt that.
Built up around the railroad track there.
Mm-hmm. So did you go to school here at Perry?
Yeah, graduated in eighth grade there at Perry, and I went 5 years, I guess, here.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember some of them. I had one teacher, his name was Maurice Wise. He was had one leg taken off when he was a kid, and he was a real good teacher. He liked to especially the boys, you know, he was always taking them on trips, hunting and fishing and stuff like that. And he was like to coach kids in sports, you know. But then I had two or three lady teachers.
What were their names?
Gosh, I really, I'd have to think about that a while.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was a one-room school at the time?
Yeah, we, all the people that lived here, the kids, one room, building was big enough for all of us, you know. We used the one that's still standing here for, just to play in the wintertime when the weather's bad. We didn't use it for a classroom.
And there was another, then there was another school building there, right next to it?
Yeah, it was this side of the, where the building is there.
How big was that?
It was about the same size as the one that's still standing on. It had, you know, a desk and all that in there.
Huh. When did, and you said it burnt down?
Yeah, it burned down.
I wonder, do you remember when?
No. I wasn't here. We moved away somewhere else when it burned down. In fact, I think I was in the service then when it burned down.
Oh, do you remember about how many kids there were in the classes usually?
My own class, I went through, it was just two or three of us. In my class, and most of them are sometimes one child in it, and sometimes there's four or five, depending on, you know. But they weren't big classes.
But altogether, how many kids were there?
Well, I think it was about 20 at one time. And first to eighth grades.
So where did the kids come from? Were they the kids just from here in Upper Perry?
Upper Perry, yeah. Huh.
And you said they used that, the building that's there now for a gym, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played sports in there, basketball, especially.
It's not very big for a basketball court.
No, about half size of a regular court, you know. But we got to be pretty good athletes in there. We generally beat all our games there because, you know, we knew the everything about the building and how far we could make our baskets. And, you know, in fact, I think it was North Potter come here and play us. And I think we beat them 98 to nothing.
Boy.
You know, back then, basketball was played, you had a center jump after each basket was made. They'd take it back to center and jump it and start over again, you know. My older brother, he was a pretty good size for his age, and he'd always get the tip. And when he got the tip, why, generally he'd tip it right to the guy that wanted to make the basket, and he'd just put it in the basket, you know.
Wow.
The other team wouldn't even see the ball.
Yeah, and you guys probably practiced that.
Oh, yeah. We could bounce them off the wall and into the basket.
Oh, boy. What were some of the teams you played from what little towns?
Well, we played Island City and Elgin and North Potter, LeGrand's Central School. We played them, too.
Well, one thing I forgot to ask you is the names of your mom and dad.
Oh, my dad was Fred Bushman, and my mother was Iva. You might have known Iva.
Yeah, I knew her.
Yeah.
She was still alive when I first came here.
Yeah.
She
was of Irish and English ancestry. They come out covered wagon from Missouri and settled in out of Baker there, homesteaded up there.
Oh, I didn't know that, huh. What was her last name?
Eads. Ira Eads.
Yeah.
Her maiden name.
So where did your dad meet her, do you know?
I think over Pendleton at the Roundup, I think.
Yeah,
my dad is French-Canadian ancestry. About a half and a half, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And how many were there in your family? How many kids?
Well, it was three boys in our own family.
Mm-hmm. Let me see, what else? Do you remember, was there anything at all in Middle Perry, there where the mill used to be when you were a kid?
Just the ruins of buildings. You know, on the other side of the hill there, you know, the old sawmill burned, and they were just the ruins of the buildings, foundations and stuff. There's one building kind of standing. It was a tavern, and dance hall there. They called it the Sunset Tavern.
Oh, really? You know, see, it's so hard to imagine there being a town there, because there's nothing there now.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, it used to be a thriving place, you know.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it, and I was just so surprised.
They called it Stump Town, I guess, back in those days.
And has Perry changed a lot? This part of Perry changed a lot since you were a kid?
Well, there's some new houses in here that never used to be. Yeah, it's basically the same. I mean,
well, I know your house, you inherited it from your mom. She mm-hmm. used to live here. And there's a lot of houses in Perry that started out being built pretty much the same. You know, weren't they like basically four rooms, two bedrooms and living room and a kitchen? And I wondered if the mill built those, or did people build them just on their own?
Well, I imagine that the mill, you know, in order to keep workers probably close, you know, they probably built some of the homes, yeah. Because there was kind of a pattern to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is, and then people have built onto them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them. Especially these on the, as you go into Perry, there's three houses in a row that look pretty much, they used to look pretty much the same. People mm-hmm. have built on. Okay, so you went to school through the eighth grade.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Where'd you go to school?
Well, then I had to ride a bicycle to high school in La Grande. We didn't have no bus, you know, and so we'd ride a bicycle until the weather got so bad we couldn't, and ride a bike, and we'd either stay in town or folks would try to get in there, you know, drive us in school.
Where'd you stay?
In La Grande?
Uh-huh.
Well, I stayed at a hotel there. Summers Hotel, upstairs there.
Where was it at?
Oh, what street is that? It's on Depot Street, I think it is. It's between Adams Avenue and Washington Street, mm-hmm. on the side street there.
And you had said that you ate there too?
Yeah, there was a cafeteria right a couple doors down, so I'd go and eat there a couple times a day. In there.
So did all the kids ride their bicycles at the same time into La Grande?
Yeah, we all. There's four or five of us going to high school, and we'd generally all ride together, you know, into school. In fact, one girl was killed riding into school.
That's funny.
a girl from Upper Perry. Her name was Marie Foley. And her bike slid on the ice, you know, and she wrecked and she hit her head on the, you know, cement there. And I guess she never recovered from it.
Well, it's 3 miles to go in there, so that was quite a ride every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, there wasn't all the traffic like you got now.
Yeah.
The old highway used to go down and crossed under the railroad track and went around that bluff, you know, into Ordell, that way into town.
Oh. You know, kind of followed the tracks and the
river. Just past where the weigh station is, east of the weigh station, it used to... The highway used to cross under the railroad track there, and then go around right around that rock bluff and back across the river, going into La Grande there.
Well,
between here and Hillgard, the road was all different then too. You know,
where did
it go? Old highway. Well, from Upper Perry, you know, across that old bridge. You got pictures of it up there. It crossed right there and went right on up and crossed the track and the river up above there.
That dead end, what's the dead end road now, that was the road.
That used to be the main highway,
It probably kept going.
Yeah, it went on through and may have had an overhead there going across the track up there before you got to Hillgard.
Is that road still there up past Hillgard? Can a person still drive the old road?
Yeah, you could. Some of it is it's the old highway, you know, that goes right on through. And up above, you know, the old highway used to take off of Spring Creek there and go up right along the track up to Camila. And Meacham, went through Meacham. And then down the old Cabbage Hill over there, you used to call it Cabbage Hill, going into Fenton there.
It wasn't where it is now, though.
Oh, no. The road is still there. You know, it's still passable. But in the wintertime, I'd rather drive that old highway than I would the freeway.
Yeah.
So much congestion and wrecks on that freeway.
I know. As many people on the older, so it's still paved.
Yeah, it's all the way from Spring Creek on to it's paved up through the tunnel in the old highway.
I'll have to go travel it one of these days.
Yeah, you'll have to take the scenic route.
Yeah. So you worked for the railroad too.
Yeah, I started the signal department on the railroad in 1943, and I graduated from high school in 1944, and then after that I went into the service and for the Navy. And then I got discharged out of the Navy after World War II, I went right back to work on the railroad. You got any jobs? You bet. For you, we got one. Hired me right back.
Oh, great. So, do you think there was a tradition of hiring people, like, from families that, like your dad worked for the railroad? And I don't think it's so much that way anymore.
No, it kind of was railroad families. Yeah, they had a job while they'd get their boy on working somewhere else on the railroad, you know, or find him a job.
Was there a lot more railroad traffic and things to do for the railroad in La Grande than there is now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was big shops and roundhouse and it was just a terminal, you know, and had lots of steam engines there all the time servicing. pretty busy place, the railroad in those days.
Yeah. So they still ran steam engines when...
Yeah.
And they went... Oh, I bet that was something to see. Those steam engines going over to Pendleton,
mm-hmm.
over that hill.
Yeah, a lot of times they had three, at least, steam engines on one train. To push them over the mountain, or over the grade, you know.
Yeah. Did the freight go through pretty much like it was, or did they ship out any grain from the valley? Or?
Yeah, almost everything moved on the railroad back then. You know, the freeways and the trucks weren't, they couldn't haul it all. So.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't equipped to haul a lot. Until after the, you know, after the Second World War, while they had a big highway building project going on, they built what they call freeways now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, the railroads hauled up most everything.
Yeah. Is that when the freeway was built the way it is now, around the Second World War, or after?
Well, yeah, they built it right after the Second World War. They improved it, widened it, put more lanes in.
Now, Duckett told me about the pine cone that was down here. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to have cabins, you know, like motel cabins there, and a swimming pool.
Hmm.
Used to be a pine cone. Changed the road a little bit, and the business fell off. Why, they used the swimming pool for fishing.
Hmm.
They'd have stock it with trout, and they'd let kids come and fish in it. The swimming pool there to catch fish.
That was a good deal. Yeah, and you had said that they had changed the river here somehow. When they put the freeway in, or when they put the railroad track in?
The railroad, I think, went in first, you know. But previous to that, why they the river and the road and the whole works used to go around the skirted ferry here, went around the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
You know, you can look over here and see the where the railroad and the freeway cut right through that. Well, they used to float logs down the river and had a big mill pond over there. Back when the mill was operating.
Yeah, I'm going to have to walk back there and look at it again. It's been years, but you can't even see.
No.
To look and see if I can see where the mill pond is and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I wonder if this bluff, you know, the railroad cut through it,
mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of a bluff on the other side of the river. I wonder if that was connected.
Oh, yeah.
So
river used to go clear around.
Yeah, so that didn't even go anywhere where it was now.
No, when they cut through, they diverted the river, too. Went right down through where the railroad went, or alongside the railroad there.
Huh. Well, I'm trying to picture where they diverted it, because they must have started diverting it up past Upper Perry, because where it's going now, you know, that's where it turns.
Yeah, it followed its own course until they blowed through there, you know, to put the riprap in for the railroad grade,
mm-hmm.
and stopped and turned the river going straight through, more or less.
Mm.
But it used to make a big swing, yeah.
Well, that's probably, I know that one of the neighbors dug down and, Larkin, for a septic tank and hit a big, very deep layer of sand. And I think this mm-hmm. whole area was just a floodplain for the river.
Yeah.
At one time.
Could have been, yeah.
Did you travel on you traveled on the trains, or did you?
Oh yeah,
your work.
Well, sure, they had lots of passenger trains back then. They had, four of them going each direction. I mean, four of them going east and four going west.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to catch a train, why, you'd go down any time of day and there'd be one coming, you know.
Well. so that place, the train station, was a busy place. Now,
oh yeah, it was
empty.
A hub, yeah.
And you said you were a signalman?
Yeah, I was a signalman, signal maintenance.
What did you do then exactly?
Well, in construction, we built all the signal facilities and wired them, and then we maintained them after we got them built. We put in centralized traffic control between LeGrand and Hinkle, Reith. When I was working, when I was in high school, putting that in. And when I got out of the Navy, I went in right into construction again, and we built centralized traffic control from LeGrand Huntington.
So what is that? I don't know what that is.
Centralized traffic control?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's when it's all operated with the electronic machines.
Oh.
In other words, there's a dispatcher will sit in front of a great big board that go like almost around the room, mm-hmm. showing all the tracks. And if a train was there, he could watch that train go from one section of the track to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And when he'd come, he'd line the switches. He'd see two trains getting close while he'd line the switches and run them around each other.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty important.
He'd have flipped a button on his board there
and
control the train movement.
Oh, wow.
Previous to that, the old semaphore signals and lots of operators on the stations along the route, and all the train movements had to be governed by train orders. They used a key, to send out on the line there that all these operators and they'd hand up the orders to the train. When the train had come by, the operator would go out and hand them up. When the train didn't stop, they'd just scoop it up, and say, "You'll proceed, to the next whatever siding they want them to go into or whatever."
Hmm.
But after the CTC come in, of course they didn't need all them operators no more, because they had one guy sitting there running the whole thing.
Oh, that was, yeah, what a difference. And that's why in these little towns, it's out there by Thief Valley Dam, there's some little buildings right by the railroad, in all these little places, I suppose they had to have a person every time the track moved. There had to be somebody there to move it manually.
No. After they put the CTC in, it's all automatic.
But before that,
they had to hand throw the switch.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And they got it. They got the message over the wire.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. When they had to go in, the message to go in the siding, they had to stop, and the guy would get out and line the switch, and they'd pull in, and they'd close the switch back by hand.
Did the engineer or the conductor do that, or there was somebody else that ran those?
No, they had to get off the train.
Oh, so they had to stop the train?
Yeah.
Every time they were going to...
Yeah.
Oh.
But they had classifications on the trains. I mean, some of them more or less stayed on the main line, the locals and stuff like that, where they'd put in the siding for the hot shots, they call them, that go straight through. And then they kept moving that along.
Did they have side rails like they do now here at Perry, where they would move, a train would have to go off of the main track and stay there till another one was coming past it?
Well, yeah, they'd have to stay there until the train that they was in to meet went by. Then they could line the switch and they could proceed if they had a clear signal,
Well, this...
Now, they just get on there and enjoy the ride, the train crew. And
yeah.
All they do is get on there and don't have to line switches.
Don't have to do anything.
When the dispatcher wants them to go, why, the light will just go green and they'll go, you know. Switch a line for them and they're off.
Hmm.
And it closes back after the train gets over.
Well, even, that's a central control system, is sure.
Oh,
made
yeah.
it a lot easier. A lot safer,
yeah,
too, I would think.
Oh, it's a lot safer.
Yeah.
Not so much human error.
Yeah.
You used to have a lot of train wrecks because human, you know, is not infallible. And
yeah.
You make mistakes.
Yeah. Do you remember where the roundhouses were for... Now, what is a roundhouse? I think I know what it is, but what are they?
Well, they were where they serviced the engines, and they were built all kind of circular, and they had a turntable out there in front of them, and when a train had an engine, they'd just pull it in there onto this turntable. It would turn, and they'd put them in a track that goes right inside the roundhouse, certain track.
Okay.
Whatever one they wanted them, you know, to be on, they just pull it in there and they work on them.
Where were
you
know. Those roundhouses?
Well, it was just a little west of the where the depot sits there now, across the track.
Okay. I don't know if there's anything left there or not. When I first came here, there was some bricks and some ruins, and I suppose that's where it was.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they have to pay taxes on all that, so you know, anything that they don't need, why they got rid of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were just talking about the during World War II, and you said there were guards along the track?
Yeah, they were guarding all the bridges and any places that, you know, could be sabotaged. Well, they had guards there to watch it, patrol it.
That makes sense. I was kind of wondering if they would do that now after September 11th, but...
Well, they haven't yet.
They haven't yet. It's not that... But, did they ship a lot of military supplies over the railroad?
Oh yeah, everything went by railway. All their tanks, trucks, and all their equipment, and troop trains. There'd be several troop trains a day go through, you know, just nothing but big long passenger trains and troops, soldiers.
So were they going to Portland and Seattle to ship out? Were those two? Because I don't remember there being any military bases there.
Well, just go down there and go on a ship, you know.
Because they were building the ships there.
We come up the Columbia River in our ship right up to Portland, and took on a whole load of soldiers on our ship there.
What's the name of your ship?
It was a Bosk, USS Bosk. It was APA. It was specifically designed to carry troops and make landings with landing boats, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I didn't ask you is about your beautiful wife, Beverly. No, I have to ask this because I asked who your mom and dad were, and so tell me about your family, the name of your wife and kids, and how many kids you have.
Well, you her? I don't know. Well, my wife is Beverly. Graybill was her name, and she used to work in a movie theater as an usher. when I got out of the service, why we met. And now we have four children. We had lost one. And we're all grown. How many grandkids? Let's see. One great grandkid.
What movie theater did she work in?
I think she worked in a couple of them, didn't you? You worked in the Liberty and the State, and at the time we had three theaters in the Grand.
Granada,
yeah.
Hmm. Where were they, the theaters?
One was in there, what the Granada is now, and the State and the Liberty were for the Trocadero in that area right there. Where the Trocadero was.
And where that pizza
was. Yeah, I heard that there was one upstairs there, and some of the equipment's still there. I'd like to get in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the summer, you talked about the summer hotel and that you stayed there when you were in high school. Was it just one story like it is now?
It was upstairs. The hotel was upstairs. The ground floor. I don't know what businesses was down there. Oh, that cafeteria was under the hotel for one thing. But the hotel was on, you know, up off the street level. It was, you had to go up steep stairs to get up there. I remember that. I had to go upstairs to get up there to the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He used to ride his bike.
Yeah, he told me that. Yeah. And so, what was your first car? When did you get your first car?
Well, when I got tired of riding my bicycle to school, I got a car. And I was about a junior, I guess. I went to work on the railroad while I made a few bucks, and I went and bought a car for $50. And it was a Model A Ford. I like to have it now.
Yeah, I do.
And still running, you know, it'd be worth a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I used it, of course, to drive to school with. And last year, when I was a senior in school.
So you worked for the railroad while you were in high school?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, during between school years, summer I worked on gang, working over the mountain here, between the Grand and Camila. I worked up there building construction signals.
Hmm. Was that what they were putting in this central system?
Yeah. Yeah, centralized traffic control.
They didn't start back
how
later, did they?
No. Lift up between here and Reef is what we put in during the war. Doing that. After the war, then they went from the Grand to Huntington. When I got out of the service, I went right to work putting it in the other direction.
Well, that's neat. That's a lot more than I knew about it.
Well,
did you tell about the teacher?
Which one?
Yeah.
What was his name? I can't remember.
No, that was Maurice Wise.